John Banville has written a novel that is at once an epical act of imitation, salutation, and imagination. He's taken Isabel Archer, Henry James' protagonist in his 1881 novel, The Portrait of a Lady, and painted a portrait beyond that classic frame, writing a sequel in much of the manner of Henry James. But to the same outcome, John Banville's novel, Mrs. Osmond, and John Banville, a Booker Prize and Guardian Fiction Award winner who is often mentioned as a contender for the Nobel Prize for Literature, joins us in our studios. Mr. Banville, thanks so much for being with us.
I'm very glad to be here.
What act of imagination or effrontery or what was it that inspired you to try and write a sequel to a book that was so well known and precious to so many people?
I know. Well, it was my usual foolhardiness and overweening pride that made me do it. Now, it was years ago, my wife said to me, look, why don't you write the second half of Portrait of a Lady? At the time, I thought, no, it would be like feeding on the carcass of a lion. But then, I guess, last year, I needed to change the direction. I needed to do something new. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I will do it. And I found, to my amazement, that I could write somewhat in the style of Henry James. I mean, it's not Henry James' style. If you put a page of Henry James aside a page of mine, you'd see the difference. But it sounds enough like it to get away with it. And late in life, I've discovered that I'm a kind of parrot.
Well, in this case, of course, Henry James.
Henry James, it's a wonderful and a great style. And great styles are much more easily imitated than plain styles.
Right.
But James's style is so particular and so, well, I was going to say unique, but of course it's not unique if I can do it as well.
Oftentimes, when reading the book and enjoying what I'll refer to as the luxuriance of some of the descriptions, it occurred to me, we don't read this anymore. For one thing, they don't fit on the screen of an iPhone.
You know, when I started publishing fiction back in 1970, very few people read fiction. In Ireland, it was all poetry. Everybody read poetry. It was only in the 1980s that fiction suddenly became fashionable. And we've had a good run of it. But it's still one of the most immediate experiences one can have in life is to read a good novel. The extraordinary thing about writing itself is that these black marks on a white space are transformed into images, ideas, fantasies, philosophies. Mm-hmm. It's only because we've got used to it that we take it for granted. I remember I was sitting on a bus one day and I saw these people with these phones in their hands and flicking them up and up and up. And I said to my friend, I said, what are they doing? And he said, they're reading. You know, reading on a screen is still reading. Mm-hmm. I'm a very democratic attitude to reading. When my wife and I bought our first dishwasher, great luxury in those days, the instruction manual was written in the most beautiful English. Very plain, very clear, precise, even witty. Good writing can happen anywhere.
In interviews over the years, you've suggested that you regret the fact that you never went to university, but don't believe it would have made you a better writer.
Oh, I only regret it because I regret those 3 or 4 years of drinking too much and chasing girls and being generally lazy. I started to work too early. Probably would have made me afraid to tackle subjects that I have tackled in my writing life.
Because
education, to a certain extent, limits. The really good teachers, they don't teach you. They just say, here's what you should read. Here's the direction you should go in. And I did that for myself.
You wound up, I gather, as a clerk, should I say a clerk, at Aer Lingus for a couple of years.
Yes, you see, in those days, in the early 60s, it was almost impossible to get off the island of Ireland. Mm-hmm. And I was determined to get out. And this is a way of doing it. I remember one of the first flights I made was direct from London to San Francisco, first class, and the cost was £2. And I went to Paris, I went to Rome, I went to Greece a number of times, and then I came to America. I still remember the first time I went into a supermarket in Berkeley in California. This is May 1968. I can still smell the tear gas. And seeing a row of fruits and vegetables and so on, stretching to infinity, it seemed. And I thought I was hallucinating. I thought somebody must have slipped me some LSD. I'd never seen...
Well, if you were in Berkeley, the chances are...
I had never seen such colors and such variety and such richness. I remember thinking, my goodness, this is a new world.
Let me ask you a bit more about Mrs. Osmond. Were you careful in how you treated a character who was so important to so many readers, including you?
Oh, yes. I mean, I first read Portrait of a Lady when I was in my early 20s, and I immediately fell in love with Isabel Osmond. Mm-hmm. And as well as falling in love with her, I saw her as myself, young, impetuous, determined. When I read the book again in middle age, I saw her differently. I saw how subtly James had shown up her weaknesses and her failings. One thing that I discovered when I read the book very, very closely in order to write the sequel is that I think Henry James forgot at the end just how young Isabel is. Mm-hmm. At the end of the Portrait of a Lady, she's still not 30. I mean, he treats her as a sort of middle-aged grande signora. So I had to bring her back and make her younger again. I had planned the end of this book that she was going to meet a personable young man, fall in love, and go back to America. But when I came to the end of it, I realized I couldn't do that. So in fact, the end of my book is just as open as the end of The Portrait of a Lady. So maybe somebody else will take it up.
Well, I wondered. In my notes here, I referred to it as a Jamesian ending, or is it an invitation to your own sequel?
Well, I'm hoping that a woman will write the third book, take Isabel to America and give her a life there.
John Banville, his novel, Mrs. Osmond. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure.